Friends, good evening. Thank you for joining us to another Gnostic Lab of Practical Application. The practice that we have this week is called dividing our attention. And this is a very useful practice because we take advantage of something that is known as the law of Triamashikamno. The law of Triamashikamno is the law of the Holy Three. And because there are always three primary forces involved in every stream of creation, what we intend to do is to make use of this holy affirmation, this holy negation, and the holy conciliation applied into our individual constitution so that we may keep ourselves at the present moment. Now, how is it that this looks? When we speak of holy affirmation, holy negation, and holy conciliation, let's consider for a second that each and every one of us is a perfect triunity. Because depending on how you see yourself, you will see that you are a personality, a consciousness, and the body. But you will also see that you are a physical body, that you are a soul, and that you are a spirit. And that the soul is that intermediary between the physical body and the spirit itself. This happens because the physical body is the vehicle that we have been given so that we may be able to experience this realm of creation. And these particular bodies that we have been given, well, they are endowed with tremendous faculties. In our current state that is degenerated, many of these faculties are dormant. But there is a way to awaken them. And to awaken those faculties, we must start by awakening our consciousness. And to awaken our consciousness, it is necessary that we learn to divide our attention. That physical body is the vehicle we have been given to do the necessary work that is imperative for us to achieve an internal revolution of the consciousness. Yes, we spoke about the personality a few minutes ago, but the personality corresponds with the physical body. And this personality, we created it, and it is a daughter of its time. We, with our body, make use of the personality, and we use the personality to interact in the many events, circumstances, conditions, dynamics that our body flows through throughout the course of our existence. But then on the other extreme, if on one we have matter as the physical body, the dense substance, well, there is a superior matter on the other side, and that is our being, the innermost, our spirit. And our innermost allows from itself the emanation of a fragment of its human soul. That fragment is the consciousness. And the consciousness is the more divine and pure material that exists within each and every one of us. That consciousness has tremendous faculties, tremendous powers, and it is in every way identical to the spirit in its faculties, abilities, etc. But it exists at infinite degrees of difference. Let's keep in mind that in terms of a fire, if the innermost is a bonfire, the consciousness that is incarnated within us is akin to a spark that escapes the bonfire. And that consciousness, provided that it is so powerful, happens to be fragmented and trapped within the many psychological aggregates that we have today. This combination of all of those psychological aggregates together with the fractions of consciousness that are trapped inside each and every one of them, that is what constitutes our soul. So our soul today is not a solar radiant soul As a matter of fact, the great master Jesus is quoted in the book of Luke, in the book of Luke, by saying, "In patience, you will receive your souls." You see, it is our duty to awaken the consciousness so that we can make use of this physical body to involve ourselves with the transmutation of our creative energies, to embrace the super dynamic of love so that we can invite of a power superior to the mind to destroy the ego, liberate the consciousness, and for the consciousness to slowly awaken. But today, we are too distracted. How often has it not happened to you that you just walk out of one room into the other and you stop, dead cold on your feet, and you ask yourself, what was I going to do? And you don't remember. How often has it not happened that you stand up with the intent of getting something done, and once you get there, you do certain things, but when you come back, you realize that you did everything except the thing that you intended to get done. This happens because our attention is somewhere else. And the fact that our attention is drifting and consistently captured in some sort of daydream, well, it's an indication that we are indeed somewhere else. Master Samael says we are wherever our consciousness is. And our body may be here, but if we are daydreaming of the supermarket, if we are daydreaming of what to cook next, of what or what to wear tomorrow to go to work, well, we're certainly caught ourselves either in the supermarket, in the kitchen, or maybe in the closet. We need to divide our attention so that we can help awaken the consciousness. And this is why Samael shares with us the key of SOL. This key of SOL is an acronym that stands for the subject, the object, and the location. Now, the subject is you. But we already said, wait, I'm supposed to be three things. This body, this soul as an intermediate of the body, and then the other thing that is the spirit. So what do you mean you? When we speak of the subject, we refer to that thing that is perceiving. Right now, we are perceiving through the senses. But allow ourselves to do this exercise. Allow yourself to take a deep breath. Do that by inhaling through your nose. And exhale. And let's do that again. And allow your consciousness to perceive itself right there. Now notice that we're not asking you to think that you're there. We're not asking you, stop and for a second, take in all of the sensorial perceptions that are coming on the temperature of the room, the sensation of the chair, the sensation of the socks on your feet, the clothes on your body, the taste in your mouth. We're not asking you to do all that. We are simply asking of you to perceive yourself right there. And you know very well that you can perceive this. The moment that you try to run that through the intellect, it gets very convoluted. It becomes very difficult to explain. But you can very easily, spontaneously, effortlessly have this very specific notion of perceiving that there is that observer within you. This is a subject. And combined with the physical body, it is that observer within you, the consciousness, and the sensations of the physical body, what will constitute the subject. When we make use of the senses of the human machine, hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, and the sense of touch, we have the ability to perceive all of those dense conditions and situations and things, let's call those things, impressions, that reach the senses. The subject is that receiving element. And for the sake of this conversation, Now that you know what that is, you know that you don't have to think about it. All you have to do is allow it to perceive. And these things that we perceive, these impressions, they are this thing that accounts for what is known as the object. And sometimes the object comes as an image of something that our eyes perceive in the environment. How many times have you not found yourself in a dream and suddenly come across a loved one that has long passed? That image, that experience of perceiving that loved one, that is an interaction between the subject and the object. How many times have you not been in a situation where you are walking down some irrelevant location and you come across a friend that you have not seen in a really, really long time? That shock that you receive right there, that is the perception of the object. How many times have you not found yourself in a dream, walking from one room of your house into the next one, and the moment that you walk into that next room, it is nothing like what you would expect? You're expecting there to find the living room, but somehow it is the outdoors. You know that you're in your house and you're expecting to see it in a good condition, and for one reason or another, you see holes on the walls. You see, these things that we perceive, these impressions that we gather through the senses that the consciousness can also perceive, these are all the object. And then there is, of course, the location. Because right now, your physical body may be sitting in front of your computer. Maybe you're sitting looking at your computer, observing this as a video, something that has been recorded several weeks or several months ago. And even though your body is there, it is still important for us to understand, where are we? Because if the body is here, but we are in the meantime playing with our mobile device, well, evidently we are in that world, in that realm of fantasy of our social media. We are just not here. If we happen to be driving in our car, but when we get there, we have no idea how is it that we get there, well, evidently we were somewhere else. And it is important that we consistently ask ourselves, where am I? Am I in the physical body? Or am I in my astral body? Because again, how many times have you not found yourself in the dream state, going through experiences and not questioning where you are simply because you have taken it for granted? Friends, this is the key of SOL. The key of SOL has nothing to do with an analytical exercise. Because if you start running through a mental checklist, you will see that it is so difficult. It is so mentally taxing that you're just not going to do it. If you try to do this relying on the capability of the intellect, well, because the intellect corresponds to the mind, and in our current mind, we have our desires and our fears, our insecurities, we have our uncertainties, we have our skepticism, we have our frustrations, etc. Well, the mind has no ability to deal with itself. It requires of a power superior to the mind to bring the mind under control. And in this case, well, we have the power of our Divine Mother Kundalini to help us eliminate these aggregates. She's the only one who can do it. And then there is the power, the ability, the faculty of the consciousness to help dominate and tame the mind. The key of SOL is not an intellective exercise, but allow us to tell you this. At first, it will be. And it has to happen at first because our consciousness in many cases is so asleep that we have to take some actions that are just a little challenging so that the consciousness can be shocked and that slowly but surely we can start empowering it to perceive, to discern, to exercise its instinctive ability to perceive the cosmic truths. The key of SOL is an exercise of the consciousness. Just like we perceived our body a few seconds ago, a few minutes ago, this is the degree of awareness that we need to learn to bring. Your mind is going to tend to drift into many thoughts, confusions. It's going to be lured by things that will invite it to identify, and fascination would lead you down the slippery slope back into the sleep of consciousness. So Master Samael tells us, if you can focus your attention on the innermost, if you can focus your attention on your Divine Mother, if you can focus that attention by either visualizing or by either establishing communication, that communication is prayer. Well, as you are doing that, that maintains you there in that present moment. This is how we make our best effort as we are starting with all these initiatives so that we can keep our attention, a part of it, a third of it, focused on the subject. Every time that we come across a longtime friend out on the street, that we take it as a cue to perceive that object. Every time that we see a riot, that we see news on the TV that may be a little shocking, every time that we hear something that catches our attention, every time that we see something on a table that does not seem to be, that does not seem to belong there, at that moment, we have to focus that attention on the object so that we don't take it for granted, but that we can allow the consciousness to perceive it with its alert novelty and its alert perception. And the moment those two things happen, that effortlessly, they will happen in an instant, you will see, then we have to ask ourselves, where am I? Am I in my physical body? Am I in the astral plane? And you have two ways to test that. Way number one is that you can take a leap. You can jump with the intent of floating. And the moment you do that, if you create that habit here in the physical plane, the moment that you find yourself in the dream state and you ask yourself the same question, you will jump or leap with the intent of floating and you will find yourself floating in midair. And you will see that you are not in the third dimension, that you are indeed in the fifth dimension. The second thing that you can do is that you can make the habit of pulling your finger. Because the moment that you pull your finger, as you bring that habit into the fifth dimension, the laws that govern the fifth dimension are certainly less laws than what we have here. Here, this realm is governed by 48 laws. That fifth dimension is governed by 24. 48 here, 24 there. Substantial difference. And one of the laws that is governing within the fifth dimension is the law of levitation. These attractions there, they operate in ways that are different. That forces of cohesiveness are not as aggressive as they are here. So when you pull your finger in that dream state, you will see that your finger will stretch. And when you let go of it, your finger will come back into its natural state. Create the habit here, we naturally bring that habit into the dream state, and before you realize, you're awakened consciousness in the dream state as well. Subject, object, and location. These are the fundamentals of the key of SOL. And the more you put it into practice, the better. At first, your first instances, you will see that in a typical day, you will be able to maintain the key of SOL for maybe 5 or 10 seconds. But as you continue to practice, those few seconds become minutes. And before you realize, throughout the week, those minutes start becoming hours. Throughout the month, those hours, they start becoming days. Throughout the year, those days start becoming weeks and months. And suddenly, you realize that you are not as forgetful. Suddenly, you start realizing that an exercise of retrospection does not require of you to extenuate yourself trying to dig in to remember, because you have been conscious enough throughout the flow of the day, and you have perceived enough that everything is easily accessible by the consciousness. The key of SOL is crucial to help us in the awakening of the consciousness. Okay, so now you know this. And some of you may say, cool, but so what? Well, let us tell you this. We need to learn to consistently apply the key of SOL because we have to learn to comprehend objections. We must start by saying that everyone has the right to state their opinions. And the best happens when we do not put objections to the opinions of others. Sometimes we will see people making comments and we will feel that guttural reaction and that internal fire and the cringe, and we feel the need to say something because, of course, we have to show them. But that is not necessary. Allow us to tell you this. The moment that you start comprehending objections and that you stop setting resistance to other people's opinions, many are going to look at you and wonder, what is wrong with you? Many people who are close to you today are going to start wondering, how come you're not saying anything? Suddenly, you will realize that there are many relationships that exist today that are coming together glued by agreements in resistance. The moment that resistance is no longer there, the moment that you can allow others to simply state their opinions, and you say what you have to say, and you simply are willing to walk away, your dynamics with others will start changing. Good examples of this is when someone asked the great master Jesus, what is the truth? What is that? And he simply closed his lips. He turned around and he walked away. Now you may say, wait a minute, that was a question. Where is the opinion? Well, keep in mind that just as we come into these lectures, and we take out of them the same thing that we bring into them. Just like that one brought in skepticism and doubt and judgment. Well, he walked out of that transaction with that very same thing. If we come here skeptical, doubtful, if we come here uncertain, if we are not willing to open ourselves to that which is new, well, then this becomes an exercise in just listening to some pseudo-interesting stuff. But then there is really no effect. So we need to learn to not object. We have to break away from these considerations of liking and disliking. Because it is not the problem of we liking and disliking. It is the internal violent reactions that are generated by the ego. Because we tend to dislike things, but we have assumed, actually, we have come up with our own definition of disliking, and as part of those own definitions we have created, we consider that disliking requires protest, that disliking requires complaining, and that doesn't have to be like that. Liking or disliking, there's nothing inherently wrong with either one of those. Liking and disliking both can contribute, just like liking or disliking can both be destructive. But the fact that we dislike does not mean that we have to object. It does not mean that we have to force our view. Certainly does not mean that we have to go out and teach and educate others. Because the moment we do that, our objections start multiplying antipathy. Our objections hurt the sensibilities of others in such a way that it strengthens hatred in them and in us. If we continue setting objections, we will see that all of those different aggregates of selfishness that exist within us, they immediately start feeding themselves from that creative power. And instead of us sending that energy up the channels that it should go, that energy starts going down different paths. In many cases, our creative energy becomes so available and so active that we send it the wrong way and we flood the cylinders of the human machine. And when we flood our intellect and our emotions, our motor sexual instinctive center, what ends up happening is that we start feeling numb. And as we observe, if not yourself, as we observe the mirror that others play for us, you will see that those of us who have been practicing objections and resistance for a long time, well, eventually we start falling into inferior levels of emotion. And when we get into that saturation where the cylinders are flooded with our creative energy, we become numb. We even fall into states of depression where we cannot seem to find the miracles of creation, even as they manifest right in front of our eyes. As we object to others, we are planting seeds of violence. We are planting seeds of pride. Friends, when we object against someone else, in reality, what we're doing is that we are projecting on them our own defects. Because we will hear what they are saying, and we will think, oh, this is so dumb. This is so lame. How can this person be saying this? Are they even thinking? You see, we create this disparity where we reduce them to nothingness. And in reality, all the judgments that exist behind that are nothing more than a reflection of what exists inside of us. So whenever you hear us in future lectures, speak about Maya, illusion. If you ever hear the statement that everything around us is Maya, an illusion, please don't consider that that means that what you're seeing is some kind of holographic effect. Please don't think that what you're seeing is a mirage, because that is not what that means. And much less, it means fantasy. When it comes to Maya, Maya really means not that. Things are not always what they seem to be. For the most part, what we perceive and the conclusions we come to, what is really happening is the opposite. So when it comes to these objections that we set, the judgments that exist behind our objections, friends, those judgments are just a reflection of stuff that is inside of us that we have chosen to not look. These are aggregates that are below the detection radar of our intellect and our reason. But we are so fortunate that there are others around us to reflect that so that we can see it. So if we're seeing it and you are feeling inclined to judge someone, take that as a key so that you can go and explore yourself. And if you are practicing the key of SOL, what will happen is that before you issue the judgment, you're going to find yourself stopping dead cold on your feet and saying, wait, unfair for me to say that, because I can see where I have done this. And that is an indication that we are moving in the right direction when it comes to awakening. Friends, we need to learn to comprehend the objections of others, because when we are constantly objecting in the realm of the mind, what you will see is that you will catch those elements within the realm of the mind fighting and arguing against each other. You will find that you walk very deep into the labyrinth of conflicts, opposites, and antithesis. You will find yourself looking at one aspect and the other, and because you allow for these constant objections, at times it's going to be very, very difficult to make the right decisions. And you will freeze yourself in that space-time of the mind, hoping for some clarity, because you will just be so confused that you will not to be able to distinguish what feels to be right or wrong. And when that happens, fear creeps, and then fear further stops you. And this is how we find ourselves trapped within our own sufferings. So you can see, these are all psychological anomalies. States of depression, nervousness, damage to the physical organs, that ends up happening simply because the conflicts in the mind become so consistent, so frequent, and so impactful that as that ray of creation continues to descend, whatever manifests in the mind crystallizes in the emotions, materializes and takes away from our vitality, and comes to ultimately materialize within the physical body itself. Friends, when we have no objections, we walk ourselves into the space of internal peace. When we allow others to say as they please, we are flowing and adapting to the circumstances, just like water conforms to the shape of its container without complaining. Now, this does not mean be an accomplice with delinquency. Certainly not. We need to know that we must be willing to take heroic action when heroic action is necessary. We certainly need to understand that not only we're paying karma for the wrong that we have done, but that we will pay karma for the good that is not done when it has to be done. So if a truth must be spoken, we must say it. If we must stand for that which is constructive, correct, we should do that. But we must state our truth, and if there is a conversation that follows, make sure that you don't fall into the trap of not being in a conversation that is for the sake of understanding, because those are very, very constructive, but rather fall into the trap of a conversation that is there seeking to convince. Because at that moment, what we have is a conflict of egos. And what we are seeing there then is just objections after objections on a race to see which is the most powerful objection capable of overtaking and defeating the conversation. So we must focus on no objections. No objections result in internal peace. So now that we spoke today of the Kyo SOL, why do we need that? Well, we need it because it is a key that is necessary for us to find ourselves at the present moment. And we already experience, even in those very few instances, what is it that, how does it feel to allow the consciousness to be there perceiving? But of course, for that, we have to be relaxed. For that, we have to be comfortable. And as we do that, as we are present in the moment, we can then detect the impressions that come, whether through the physical senses or the nourishment of the mind. And as we perceive those impressions, we perceive them without objection. We don't invite a reaction of the ego. Not inviting the reaction of the ego allows the thing to flow through us. And as we perceive it, we ask ourselves, where am I? Am I in my physical body? Am I in my astral body? And this repeats itself ad infinitum throughout the day. And as you do it during the day, you bring it as a good habit when you are within that fifth dimension of nature in your oneric experience, which is indeed the dream state. So this is what we have for us today. Let's go ahead and let's close our eyes and relax our body. Now that we are here together, and after all, this is a Gnostic lab of practical application, let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's relax our body. and let's allow our consciousness to perceive. So I'm going to invite you. Let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's take advantage of this comfortable chair in which we're sitting on, and allow your feet to rest flat on the floor. Adjust your chair if that is necessary. And as you allow your feet to rest flat on the floor, make sure that your spine is vertical and that your head is resting comfortably on your shoulders. Let's focus our attention in our breath, and let's take a deep breath in. 1, 2. 1, 2. One, two. Let's make ourselves aware of the sensations in the physical body. Notice and see if there is anything that feels a little uncomfortable. At this time of the day, sometimes the shoes just feel a little tight. Other times it may be the earrings, maybe they are tight, maybe they're too heavy. Maybe it's a ponytail, maybe it's a belt or a watch. Whatever that is, go ahead and give yourself an opportunity to release that distraction. And as we do this, we take another deep breath in. 1, 2. And with every exhalation, allow yourself just to sink a little deeper onto that chair. Now let's go ahead and focus our attention on our emotional state. These are for sure very challenging days that we're all living. The different demands of work, the effect of the pandemic, the financial difficulties that many of us have experienced, illness of a close friend, or even a family member, maybe even ourselves. Sometimes it can feel like a lot. And because of that, well, we may go throughout the day with some moments of joy. Some of you may have gotten here to this practice feeling very enthusiastic. But we know very well that sometimes we experience moments of joy that we call happiness. And suddenly one or two things happen, and like a pendulum swinging, we go from that happiness down into the other extreme, where we find ourselves frustrated or angry, or we fall into the space of insecurity, uncertainty, and the fear that comes with that. In other cases, we go from happiness into moments of sadness, numbness. Sometimes we even feel depressed. But allow us to tell you this. Whether today or now you have been feeling happy, content, indifferent, frustrated, sad, fearful, uncertain, what is important is that we acknowledge our emotional state. Because we know that these emotions come and go like the swing of the pendulum. And what is important is for us to develop this key of SOL and put it into practice so that we can disconnect from that mechanical swing of the pendulum itself. Because when we do that, we empower ourselves to stand at the very center of a circle. Now, if you use your objective imagination and see yourself standing at the very center of a circle, see yourself looking in one direction and seeing one characteristic, whether it is laughter, joy, happiness. And as you look at the direct opposite, you know that you can see tears, sadness, disgust. And just like that, for any pair of opposites, making altogether the circle, when we stand at the center of this circle, we find ourselves at the center of the circle of Tao. And when we honor the practice of the key of SOL, we effectively give ourselves an opportunity to stand at the very center of the circle. And when we comprehend objections, when we are not objecting and setting resistance, we allow things to flow. And we can easily see the good and the bad. And just as much, we can see the bad in those things that appear to be good. As much as we can even see the good in things that at first appear to be bad. So our emotions are temporal. And that should be encouraging for us. So that we don't fix ourselves to wanting to be happy or wanting to be content or wanting to be not suffering. We can learn to adapt to the circumstances. And we can develop a very solid emotional foundation where we can become a pillar, where others can find some leverage and can even at times take some shelter. So knowing this, we experience this moment in gratitude and gratefulness. And if you were to choose to allow a gentle smile to draw on your face, express your satisfaction for this new opportunity, for all of us throughout the world find ourselves here at this current moment, unified in a single heart, like a great family. And in this feeling of gratitude, we take another deep breath in. 1, 2. And let's focus the attention of our consciousness in our feet. When it comes to empowering the consciousness to perceive, this is a great exercise. Because we allow our consciousness to focus its attention on our feet. And we bring that attention to our toes, our heels, our ankles, our shins, our calves, and our knees. And just like that, without any type of effort, we instantaneously experience that gentle warmness. It is a very special softness that comes with relaxation. So we once again bring the attention of the consciousness to our knees. And we allow that observer to observe. And we bring our attention to our knees. The underside of our thighs. Our buttocks. Our glutes. Our hips, and even our creative organs. And we just feel how that gentle vibration of relaxation expands throughout all of our legs. And here we have firsthand experience that this happens effortlessly. And this firsthand experience, it just builds the faith. Because you know that it happens. So let's focus the attention of our consciousness at the base of our spine. And allow the consciousness to continue focusing itself up, one vertebra at a time. And with every inhalation, the focus of that attention rises, one chamber. And with every exhalation, we feel that gentle softness of relaxation expanding in our lower back, in our lower abdomen. We feel the relaxation of our internal organs. We experience the relaxation of our diaphragm and our stomach. And just like that, the exhalations become deeper. The inhalation becomes almost imperceptible. And we bring back the attention of our consciousness to that space at the center of our spine, in that space that exists between the two shoulder blades. And as we exhale, we feel the relaxation of our lungs. We feel the relaxation of our heart. And we allow that sensation of relaxation to reach our deltoids, our traps, our shoulders. And from there, with the next exhalation, we see it cascade into our elbows, our wrists, our hands. And to extend beyond and through our fingers. Give yourself an opportunity and experience the gentle vibration that is inundating your physical body. And please know that this is meant to be the natural state of the human being. Whether we are happy or sad, having a fun moment or going through a difficult, crucial one, this should be our state of relaxation. And be certain that you can invoke of your innermost, your inner father, at any moment today or during the upcoming days, and ask your divine father who is in secret to bring back this very same state of relaxation. And he will do so. Let's bring the attention of the consciousness from the base of our neck all the way up to the base of our head, in that space behind our ears. And perceive the physical sensation that manifests only with the focusing of the consciousness. From there, allow that sensation of relaxation to continue growing throughout your head. And we relax the muscles of our jaw. We relax our tongue and our lips. Relax your eyes and your eyelids. We relax the muscles of our forehead. And just like that, we feel how that gentle vibration of relaxation finds itself altogether at the very crown of our head. Take note of this gentle state of relaxation in your body and experiencing gratitude and gratefulness for this new opportunity. I will invite you to make use of your objective imagination. Objective imagination is the same as clairvoyance. So use your willpower and your objective imagination. Bring them together so that they can vibrate in harmony and see yourself as if your body were entirely transparent. See yourself as if your body emitted a gentle hue of blue. And just like that, with that transparency, if there were any objections coming in your direction, we simply allow them to flow through. And they flow through without any resistance. They flow through without creating any despair, any discomfort. And because there are no objections, that gives the consciousness an opportunity to bring forth its best attributes of kindness, love, compassion. In this moment where we are perceiving that subject, allow your consciousness to perceive once again the space behind your ears. As you do this, you can tell immediately that you have a right and a left ear. And there's no doubt that they exist. Allow your consciousness to perceive the beatings of your heart. And just like that, we are perceiving not only the beatings of our heart, but also that space that exists behind our ears. Now allow your consciousness to perceive your knees, right there in that location where we carry the chakras of our ancestry. Just like that, we can perceive our knees, our heart, the space behind our ears. And if that brings a gentle smile into your face, then enjoy it with a great deal of satisfaction. Because we need to let the consciousness, We need to allow it to be empowered to perceive, so that it may detect those impressions that come to us, that information that comes through our senses, so that we can also ask ourselves, where am I? All along in a relaxed state, so that we do not object, but so that we can perceive our thoughts, our sentiments, and our actions. Let's go ahead and take another deep breath in. 1, 2. One. Two. Now go ahead and gently wiggle your toes and wiggle your feet. Very well. So, good friends, this has been our practice today. And this practice has been called the division of our attention. Dear friends, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Our best wishes so that you have a very relaxing, great weekend, so that you can recover for the many challenges that life continues to bring at us. To everyone, have a good evening, and may all beings be happy.